The voice of my beloved. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Song of Solomon 2, verses 8 and 9. How expressive are these words concerning our heavenly bridegroom. His voice is heard in the distance. His real activities are beheld in the heavenlies, the holy heights. His real activities are youthful and bounding. This is manifest in the renewal of the youth of those who drink his resurrection life into their bodies. His approaches to men are modest and retiring, even standing behind our wall. Once he made as if he would go further, Luke 24:28. He does not crowd himself upon our affections and attentions. He stands, looks, and shows himself, but is modestly hidden. Who will recognize and welcome him? My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Ah, there is one, the choice one of her mother. She especially hears his voice on this mountain, his leaping, hill-skipping, window-staring, lattice-showing visit. He is especially seeking an interview with his bride, for she declares, My beloved spoke and said unto me. Happy and fortunate are the saints who appreciate this me, and who have the faith to take their place as a part of this wondrous me, the bride of Christ. Oh, who dares to say with the Shulamite, My beloved said unto me. Notice what the beloved said. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Aye, this is the latter rain summons for the bride to rise in faith and spirit to meet her approaching bridegroom. She is his love, his fair one. He longs for her. He cries, Come away from all your toil and trial and pain, for lo, the winter is past. The cold, bleak winter of the past centuries of the church's barrenness through her departure from the faith of the gospel is past. The rain is over and gone, that is, the latter rain which has been falling the past few years. The rain is truly over. We have no warrant to look for another or greater outpouring of the Spirit. There is no scripture for it. Here the Holy Spirit is giving moisture, life, beauty, growth, and fruitage wherever he is accorded his place and prerogatives. Hence, in our parable, we read further, The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle or turtle dove is heard in our land. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 12. The our land to which the verse refers is being literally fulfilled in Palestine today. But spiritually, this also is most gloriously true. The flowers of the land of Beulah, God's rose and lily saints, are manifest. The time of singing is come, for when was the Lord praised more since apostolic days than now? The voice of the turtle or turtle dove is heard in our land. This particular bird is everywhere else in Scripture called the turtle dove. For example, see especially Leviticus 12, verses 6 and 8, where the two words turtle dove and turtle are used interchangeably. There is a contrast here between singing birds and cooing birds. The turtle coos. How expressive of the sweetest, most tender, mellowest voice of the Holy Spirit in the bride. Only those who yield to the finer touches of the Spirit can know this by hallowed experience. Evidently, the bride is called Christ's turtle dove in Psalm 74, verse 19, because she is so subdued by and imbued with the dove-like Holy Spirit, who is figured by the turtle. It is evident that only those saints who are actually and practically filled with the Holy Spirit will constitute the bride of Christ. They are turtle dove saints and have dove's eyes. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Song of Solomon 2, verse 13. The fig tree typifies the Jewish nation on which Jesus looked for fruit and found none, but they are returning to their native land in expectation of their Messiah. And the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. The vine symbolizes the 10 tribes, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant, the fig tree, Isaiah 5, verse 7. This is the way the Lord sees his present Israel, Galatians 6, 16, and his future earthly Israel, of whom it is written that the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, Isaiah 15, verse 1. Hence again he calls to his bride, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away," Song of Solomon 2, verse 13c. But the bride is not yet ready. She is not yet wholly possessed with the bridal spirit and ravished with rapture glory. Listen to the bridegroom's plaintive words. "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Song of Solomon 2, verse 14. Her appreciation of her security and of the intimacy of the secret stairs is not yet fully worthy of the Rock of Ages and of him whose name is secret or wonderful. Judges 13, 18. Therefore he calls for a deeper, closer communion. "Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Oh, how he looks for her constant companionship, how he looks for the upturned face and the open mouth toward him. This is why the Lord cannot come for his own. His bride is not yet fully prepared. She is still occupied with her blessings, her faithfulness in her labors. She is not wholly occupied with her bridegroom himself. She is still saying, "My beloved is mine," putting herself first, "and I am his," putting him last. Declaring also his interest in others rather than in her by saying, "He feedeth among the lilies." In chapter 6, we find a great progress where the bride puts the bridegroom first when she says, "I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine." Yet she is still not lost to him and in him, for she again adds, "He feedeth among the lilies." But finally and gloriously, she sees only him and exclaims, in translation rapture, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is unto me." Song of Solomon 7, verse 10. "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom." Song of Solomon 2, 15. The enemies of Israel are likened to wild beasts that destroy the vineyards. See Psalm 80, verses 8 through 15. Foolish prophets who follow their own spirits and have seen nothing are compared to foxes in the desert. Ezekiel 1, 4. While the bridal company is being perfected and the body of Christ is being prepared for translation, Israel is blossoming in view of the millennium. But some self-appointed prophets are misguiding and beclouding the people that they may not be prepared for the revelation of Christ. The above is the cry of the Shulamite and typifies the bride praying for Israel and also for herself. She desires that every hindrance to her growth and perfection be removed, that she may be ready for the rapture. "My beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." Song of Solomon 2, verse 16. This is the attitude of the fair one toward her beloved. Previously, she expresses a claim on him, but she had not yet given him the highest place. She does not allow herself to fill his heart. Hence, he still feeds among the lilies. Do not some saints pray and talk as if they owned the Lord? Do they not try to use him? We have not bought him. He has bought us with a dear price. When speaking to others, let us not only call Christ our beloved, but let us actually lean on his arm, cling to his heart, lavish our love upon him, and worship him in spirit and truth, as indeed our beloved. Let us fill up his bosom with real affection so that he will have no need of feeding among other lilies. The one lily, the choice one, should satisfy his heart, even as afterward the Shulamite did Solomon. Song of Solomon 4 verse 9.